I'll just not do it.
Swan.
And this is Nasa.
And you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for taking time out of your Sunday to come talk books, writing, and the creative process with us.
Yeah.
And today I'm so freaking excited. We met a couple months ago, and ever since I've just been like, I need to, like I want to have you on my show. So Siobhan Gallagher, did I say that right?
Yeah. Siobhan Gallagher, hello.
And it's spelled really creatively.
That's a nice way of putting it.
It just doesn't.
Very confusingly.
It just doesn't sound like it looks, or it doesn't look like it would sound, but I kind of like that.
It's Gaelic, right? I'm not crazy for
this. Yeah, no, it's Gaelic. My mom is from Ireland, and her name is Joan, which is the like English version of Siobhan.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So Siobhan is Gaelic for Joan, and it's spelled kooky.
That's so crazy.
Siobhan to Joan.
Yeah, and I have two little brothers, too, and their names are Sean and Seamus, which are, so it's Siobhan, Sean, Seamus, and those are Gaelic versions of the names Joan, John, James. Yeah, so my parents obviously like alliteration.
Yeah.
And a creative, like, connection to your roots. Did they live there? They live there now?
No, my parents?
Yeah.
No, my mom was from Ireland, but she moved, to Canada when she was, 26 or something.
Ta Gaelic agat?
I only know McGraw-hoo, which is I love you in Gaelic.
McGraw-hoo?
Yeah, McGraw-hoo and Sláinte, which is cheers.
I know Sláinte.
Yeah.
The only two things you really need to know.
Yeah, cheers, and I love you.
They have have you guys heard of Duolingo?
Yes.
No.
It's an app on your phone. So it's really interesting. There's a TED Talk you can look up that goes into more depth. But basically, it's an online translator using the general population, and they cross-check answers to translate web pages. And they actually have an Irish, section. So they have, German, French, Russian.
Speak it?
So what you do is you just go in and you play games and,
say things. It's like a poor man's Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty effective. And it will give you milestones that you can post onto LinkedIn to be like, I'm 27% fluent in French. So I've been doing that one a little bit, and I get really confused because... not something I have exposure to.
Yeah, I use that for Spanish.
Yeah. I should. I guess that's a good way of making sure that you are legit, because I I'm from Canada, and I'm from a province that's bilingual. So I grew up speaking French and English. So on my resumes, I'm still bilingual. I can speak French, but I'm super rusty, and I'm not.
Was I talking to? Never mind, it's not going to come. It's one of those things that if you use it, use it, you lose it fast. Oh, I was talking about jiu-jitsu, actually.
Your other language.
No, it's a martial arts, but I was just talking, and this happens when I go climbing, too. I'm I used to be able to do all these things, and it comes back fast, but you're just you lose it so fast, too, if you don't actively create time and space for it in your life. Anyways, so and then we met at a comic book event at Brooklyn Art Library, which I actually had Steve on a couple weeks ago, and talking about a sketchbook project.
Cool, yeah.
But there's also another event coming up this week, right?
Yeah.
On Thursday.
I think it's the third or fourth projected comics event.
Yeah.
sadly, I think I've only been, I was only in the first one.
That's the only one I
Yeah, missed. And then I think after that, the one after that, I was in visiting home or something. But good reminder. I'm glad that you reminded
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so on Thursday, and then just like a quick expectation builder, it's really awesome. But so artists will come in and show sketchbooks that they've completed and turned into the Brooklyn Art Library and just talk about their process in creating comics and like where some of their ideas come from. I mean, there was such a strange collection of people and such a different
variety of
like
works.
Short yeah. presentations of like, this is, you know, things that are important to me or that I want to, you know, build conversations around. So it's great fun. If you're interested and you're around Brooklyn, I would highly recommend it. And you'll be there.
Hopefully. I know. I will feel guilty if I say yes and can't go. So I will just guiltily say, like, I hope I can go.
Yeah, I like to create space to be flaky. I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll see if I can make it. And then I...
Yeah,
like,
but that's a good non-committal way of putting it. Instead of like, you'll see me, like, be there and be square. Then
yeah, then... It's so funny because the obligation to show up, too, sometimes makes you less inclined to do so.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
sometimes
the story of my life.
The ability to say no is like, oh, okay, I'll go because I'm not being forced.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. Like the human psyche. So I would love to talk about your comics. I feel as you got up and presented, I was just like, she knows my life.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Like, just speak to the awkwardness and just like the... peculiarities and quirks of just like being
existing
a human and being and being a woman too, I think is some themes. So do you want to talk a little bit about where ideas come from, how they become comics?
I'm so glad you said that because it's definitely I feel like there are so many like umbrellas that my work is kind of under. It's like, yes, I'm a female and I write and I draw sort of like everyday like nuances of conversation or just like obsessive like my like
for a quick example, there's one of like headphones and like no matter how you store them or get them out, every time you have your headphones they're just like impossible tangled mess.
Yeah,
so things like that.
Yeah, a lot of like the minutiae like just getting annoyed of like little things in life, or just at least like noticing the like dumb little shit. Oops, am I allowed to say shit?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Yeah, so I feel like there's like one like umbrella that I'm under that's like daily. Yeah, like daily, like
this is my life today. Or like the week of tears, you had like all the different times you cried.
I thought you said cheers at first.
Oh, tears.
And I was like, what did I draw about that show? Because that's a really good sitcom. But
it is. It's on Netflix. So if you missed it as a child, you can catch up. It's so funny to think how many seasons. I guess it started getting out of the bar, but just like this whole thing in a bar.
Yeah, I really like that. And that's kind of like
just
The Office,
parallel.
Too. Well, I mean, just, because I love... I when I was little, like, my parents always watched Cheers, and I've been, like, I think this year, like, okay, we're 9 months into 2016, and I think I've rewatched, like, America's version of The Office, like, 3 times in the past 9 months. Like, every 3 months, I'm like, gotta go through these, like, seven seasons.
I do that with Parks and Rec.
I also did that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I go through...
Oh,
like maybe 5 TV shows instead of like branching out and watching new things.
So how do you have a social life?
I do not.
Okay, that's my question.
No, I have a little managed
do
social
you
life.
Draw while you watch things?
Yeah. Okay, that's exactly why I rewatch the same old stuff, because I'm caught like every night I'm drawing for hours and hours and hours, and instead of half paying attention to a new TV show, I like the familiarity of just hearing, like, Michael Scott's voice. Like, just Steve Carell, like, doing his thing and being like, oh, yeah, this
it's
episode.
Like old friends.
Yes, which is another show that I have also been
through. That's wonderful. So, creative process of comics. Where your stuff comes from. So, you pulling minutia. Do you keep, like, lists of ideas?
Yeah, actually, I have a little, like, book in front of me, which aww. I keep, either, like, playing with words that I like think I can draw a little comic out of, or just I don't know, something that sounds pleasing to me, mm-hmm. versus like quotes that I just overhear from people, or like, I don't know, like cartoon ideas or cartoons themselves. So I have like a little, I actually have like two or three books that I carry with me that are.
I used to do that, and then I was like, I should condense down to one, and then I'm exploring the idea of having three. So talk about having three.
Okay. Well, I have one that's like very quick, rough, just like keeping track of ideas, which I like have in front of me. Then I have my diary, which I like.
Top secret?
Top. Well, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what diaries are. And that I like. Yeah, that's more like full sentences and like remembering things that I always like. Usually on the subway, I update. And then I have another. Oh, then I have like a day planner. So I guess, yeah, those are three. But like one, I have another book that's more like illustrations. Another like one book that's more like notes. And then I have my phone notes app, which is my like go-to for documenting, like remember to draw this or just like point form.
Can you? I know that everyone does this. Do you go through the new notes and like occasionally you're like, what?
Yes. Yeah. Well, especially if they are like drunk notes, then I'm like, this is gonna be a good comic. But I'm like, why? What does this typo mean? Like, zibladu? What was I trying to say with that word?
Do you ever have the opposite where you reread something and you're like, whoa, I am brilliant?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's
the norm.
No. That's the ideal. That is the like. Yeah. Or something that I wrote, like, a year ago, and then going through, I'm like, oh, man, I never drew that into something. And, like, now in my mind it can be, like, a fully formed thing and not just, like, a half-baked idea. Yeah. I obsessively need to keep track of notes and reminders and, like, half-baked ideas to later come and find, like, 9 months later.
Which, for me, makes me think of ego. I think of Michael Mead, who is a West Coast, like, storyteller, social worker, and like myth lore person, anthropologist, sociologist, he's like everything. He's like, you know, there's so much emphasis, especially with Eastern culture, like get rid of the ego. He's like, I don't care if you want to like get rid of it, but just make sure you have one first. And I think as a creative, you have to kind of have a very strong but balanced ego of like, this is awesome and I'm going to pursue it.
Yeah, or at least... I mean, everyone, no matter what, has it, and at least be self-aware. Yeah. I think, like, just self-awareness of, like, I'm allowing myself to feel cocky today, or like, not cocky,
yeah,
but just,
or just, like, this comic is the shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, allowing it. Yourself to be pleased with something that you've accomplished.
Yeah. My friend draws, my coworker, he's been on the show, Greg, draws monsters, and it's funny to listen to him as he draws, like, oh my gosh, he's becoming so cute, because I think it's the right, especially with putting lines on a page, it's a relationship, you're like, oh yeah, I like where this is going.
And sometimes sometimes it doesn't turn out how you want, and you're like, you're kind of like let down with yourself, but also if you're drawing a person, you're let down with that new little like person that you created.
Sorry, person.
Yeah, it's like,
we're
no,
failing
Jeffrey.
Each other.
And then recently I was, I became totally smitten with this like, a possum. I drew a possum and with like babies on her back.
Aww.
And I was like, these are the cutest little babies that aren't real ever.
They're better because they don't cry.
Yeah. Or bite. Aww. Or die.
Or, you know, smell.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah,
and
they're just perfect.
They're immortally perfect. I like it. So I want to talk a little bit. You interviewed with Christian Needon.
Yeah, Needon. Yeah.
Yeah, I always like try and say his last name 5 times, even though I said it right the first time.
Needon, Needon. There's ways of... as someone who like has a hard to pronounce first name, I kind of... Like, whenever I mispronounce someone's name in my head, I'm like, I'm sorry, but, like, I understand. Like, I know what you probably go through with the name that is not easily pronounceable.
Yeah.
So he does a series through Nomadic Press. Which one did he interview you for? Do you recall?
Oh.
I can look it up.
I don't. What do you mean? Different series? Well, I don't know.
He has one that's, like, interviewing. He has two, like, journalistic threads. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving too much details. Anyways, he interviewed you. And that's coming out, I believe he said later this week. Do you know?
Oh, later this week? Oh, I thought it was like later this month.
Or later this month. Let me double check. He is coming. He interviewed you last weekend for an upcoming Nomadic Press talking paper. So it's the talking paper, like, blurb under Nomadic Press. But he did not say when it's coming out. So when it does come out, I'll throw a link on social media. But
it'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Christmas, the anticipation. Anyways,
I'm in stocking.
He reached out to me and asked if I could ask you a question.
Oh, that's so nice.
Which was so nice and also exciting. And he wanted me to ask you how Lynn Johnson has influenced you.
Oh.
So first, do you mind telling, I can like do a quick intro, but would you mind telling us about Lynn Johnson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lynn Johnston.
Johnston. Yeah, there's a T in there.
I know. Yeah. Another like name that's easy to pronounce, but hard.
Well, for
like,
a second, I was like, you mean Lyndon B. Johnson?
What? Yeah. I have really
is that
strange mentors. That
is a president. He took over after Kennedy.
Oh, yes, right.
Not him.
LBJ? LBJ?
Yeah, LBJ.
Okay, right.
Okay, so not
JFK
him.
To LBJ, not
this is a different
the
person.
American president, no. Lynn Johnston is a Canadian cartoonist who, yeah, I mean, it's funny because if you're unfamiliar with her work and you look it up, I don't think you'll see like, oh, like so similar to Siobhan. It's not like we have worked on similar things. But she was one of my first introductions just to like comics as a kid. So she, I think, had for maybe like 3 decades, like a syndicated comic, that was Nation, or it was started in Canada. And then I think it became really popular. Yeah. In like all of North America. For Better or for Worse was the name of her, like the strip. And I think it's the only comic that, aged that like she like
her
the characters
aged.
Yeah, the characters weren't stuck in like the Calvin and Hobbes perma childhood state, and it follows a family from I think in like the late 70s it started, and then
Nasa just made a face.
Sorry, I recognized the name and then I had to look it up, and I totally used to read that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was
in California. It was syndicated here too.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. As a kid, like, my Aunt Judy had lent my dad, like, every issue, like, 20 of, like, the comics, whatever. And for some reason, because it was an exchange between, like, my aunt and my dad, I thought that it was, like, a grown-up, like, comic.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was something to, like, hide that I was reading. But it was a very innocent, family-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no swearing, nothing, like, insidious about it. But I was like, ooh, like adult material.
I might not be allowed to read this.
Like, the word sex was in one. And I was like, oh, yeah. A little, like, 9-year-old gasp. Like, uh-oh.
I love that.
Like, I was so, like, self, like, moderating. Like, even as a kid, just being like, is this age appropriate? I know my mom would be, like, upset if it was inappropriate.
I love that. You still do that now? You like...
No, not at all. No, not at all. It was just
as a kid, you were really concerned.
I was just a really good kid.
Wait, is this book age appropriate? I'm well into my 20s. I don't know if I should be reading this.
Just, like, I don't know, if like... moderation in all things. Like, as an adult, sometimes it's easy to start drinking every day, for example.
Oh,
or
yeah,
like,
yeah,
being like, oh, I should do this, or this would be better for me, and like actually following through on those thoughts.
Yeah. But this, I don't know, it's funny because like For Better or For Worse is what Lynn Johnston is most well known for, but when I was like 13, I found some books of hers from, like, I think her very first publications from, like, the late 60s, early 70s.
It was still rough.
And they were, it was before she had found, whoopsie, I'm very gestural, and so I just, like, punched the mic accidentally.
That's okay. People heard it, so now they know why there's, like, this.
Yeah, I just had to describe what that noise was. And so, I don't know, I loved the certain ways that she drew people and like hands and noses and fingers and like expressive people when they're in conversation. So she was one of the first like illustrators who kind of inspired me to start drawing like people and everyday conversations, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to answer Christian, that is how she has influenced me.
Thank you for your question.
And also just the fact that she was Canadian too, a Canadian woman. I was
like,
even as like a 9-year-old, I was like,
you latch on to that.
Yeah, girl, power. Canadian girl power.
I'm curious. I lost my question.
Sorry, I went on too long.
No. I know. I love when you say sorry, which I'm like, you shouldn't apologize, but keep apologizing.
I used to watch Degrassi as a kid, and now I say sorry instead of sorry a lot of times, and people call me out on it.
Do they assume that you're Canadian? Because
No, but they're confused. They're, like, they're always like,
it's like faking a British accent, I guess. Yes. People are like, you're not. Why are you
only this one word?
I do have a question. Do you have any other influences as far as your comics go
That you can think of? Definitely. I should have.
No, it's I know. Whenever people throw questions like that at me, I'm like,
no, it's huge.
Yeah, it like a good.
You're like big... I've been influenced by everyone and everything.
Yeah. Just like for me, I grew up reading comics and comic books and like Sunday newspaper, the Sunday cartoons, mm-hmm. as well as like I had subscriptions to anything and everything that had comics in it. So like this is for me something that is very interesting.
Yeah. Well, another like illustrator who definitely I was obsessed with as a kid. Was Al Hirschfeld, who he was born in like the year 1900 and like died in 1999. So he, yeah, he was a cartoonist for like all of the 1900s. And you, if you saw his work, you would definitely recognize it. And I was first like introduced to it in Disney's Fantasia 2000.
Yes.
Okay. There was one like segment in it that was set in New York, and it was Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue was, like, the song. Yeah, and it was, the illustration style was after Al Hirschfeld, so it was all these people in, like, a New York frenzy going from, like, place to place, and it followed a few key characters. Mm-hmm. And it was done all in his style, super, like, gestural and, like, caricature-y. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, Al Hirschfeld. but, again, he's someone who, if you looked at it, you wouldn't be like, ooh, direct, like...
Like I can
similarities,
see. Yeah, you've branched off. Which leads me to what I was going to ask and that came back to me is just like how process changes over time. So you talked about finding some of Lynn's older work and how you liked that.
Yeah.
But then you could kind of see how she changed perhaps as she got like a
established a kind
and,
of,
like,
yeah.
This is my like money maker, so to speak. So. I'm curious if that process happened to you. You started drawing as a child.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been, like, an evolution of, like, when I was little, I would obsessively draw whales. I was really into whales.
A whale period, I say.
Yes, yeah, yeah. The late 90s was my whale period. Yeah, every type of whale. I was obsessed with them.
Were you obsessed with, like, learning about them and facts, too?
Yes.
That's so great.
I would draw posters and stick them on my walls for, like, every type of whale.
I love this.
And write, like, little facts about them. And I would try to make them look as, like, postery, like, because do you remember?
Like, this is legit.
Yeah.
I bought this from somewhere.
In the late 90s, there was that style of, like binder, like, Duotang.
Oh, my God,
beautiful,
yes.
Like, colorful dolphins. Not Lisa Frank, but, like the light would always hit these, like, painted dolphins. Anyways, I was trying to make my own version of that, kind of.
I was obsessed with dolphins, so I remember
exactly. Yeah. Dolphins and whales. I would do those. And there, at one point, I was like 10 or something.
So did you have personal exposure or like encounters with whales being in Canada? I'm curious.
We went whale watching once as a kid because I'm from New Brunswick.
Before or after the obsession?
During. Peak. Yes. Yeah, during peak whale obsession.
Aww.
I know. It was a dream come true. Yay. And I mean, I saw them.
What whales did you guys watch?
Oh, what were they? I think it was not humpback, but it was...
A bigger...
No, I don't know. One of the kind of boring sounding ones. Not orcas or like belugas are my favorite, but...
Oh, yay. They're shy.
They are. And they're so cute. They're like baby faces.
They're so flubbery too. Like of all like the water, like how we're like talking about whales.
I know.
Instead of books and writing, but they're like, you watch them underwater and their whole bodies are like.
Whales and dolphins are amazing and you can talk about them for hours.
They're just brilliant.
Magical. So,
this episode brought to you by whales.
I fully believe that they have life figured out.
I have I don't know if I want to ask this. I'm like curious if as like such an aficionado of whales, if now you are supporting any like conservation groups.
Oh,
that's such
my
a
gosh.
Weird question. No pressure.
I'm supporting them as in like, yeah, like I am for that, but not like
giving them $5.
Just kidding. But there, yeah, I mean, I should, but there's also
thinks,
a million.
I'm a little reactive in that sense because I was raised Mormon, and so you gave 10% of your income to the church.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I'm not Mormon anymore. I should give 10% of my income to something that I care about. But then I'm like, hate the like, I don't know, sometimes.
The fact that you have to then decide. Because that's decide. What kind of
yeah, I care
me.
About
There's
so many
million,
things.
Yeah.
Like, which one do I care about most? And then also being poor, you're like, or I could just keep that money.
Yeah, or I could afford groceries.
Yeah,
today.
I could have a smoothie once a week.
I logic it with like, I'm going to take care of myself now so that when I become rich
that's
and famous,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will dedicate myself
process.
Fully
okay.
to that.
So,
that is exactly
so
my line of
whales
thinking.
Were a big theme
yeah.
for you as a child.
Oh, yeah. And I, okay, this is just funny. I'm sorry if we have.
I love it.
Okay, like completely like sidetracked down like childhood.
No, I'm into it.
Yeah. Fanaticism. But there was one poster that I made because I like to like draw.
Do you have pictures of them still?
Ooh, I have. There's like one left over. Actually, I have a photo of like me posing in my childhood bedroom with like all my stuff on the walls. So I might, I don't know, I might be able to find like a better photo.
I'm sure your parents have them.
Yeah. No, my mom
what?
Moved out of that house and like tore everything off the walls.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Your face. Yeah, horrified, right? but it's probably for the best because like I did one for the sperm whale and like I would always do little like captions for the drawings. And so I drew a sperm whale and I wrote as like a like headline, deep in the dark ocean, the sperm like swims. And my parents came in and they were like, you should add the word whale after sperm. Like,
you're like, why?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, there's not enough room for that. The sperm.
It's visually balanced this way.
Yeah, because I thought like, you know, the beluga, you don't always have to end it with whale. So it was, it was just a big sperm poster. With a whale slapped onto
in the
it.
Dark oceans.
Yeah, and like I made it sound almost like kind of like sexy, like implications, like deep in the ocean, you will find.
That is so great.
Yeah, so that was me, like when I was oblivious to what was appropriate versus inappropriate for my age.
Now do you do things intentionally that are like borderline inappropriate?
Kind of. I mean. Okay, so that, yeah, like, that was how, that was my, like, that is my origin story of, like, drawing things. But definitely now, I feel like if I ever draw something that is a little bit, like, cheeky, like, or like, inappropriate, or, like, I don't know.
Kind of hot
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, sexy or whatever.
Or it could be.
I'm kind of, I try to not, like, water it down so much or get rid of it because my line of thinking is, like, there have been millions of dude comics who, like, constantly draw, like, big-titted ladies or like, I don't know, sex stuff.
Yeah.
And not as many sort of women doing that. Just in the history of comics, there haven't, like, there's just have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, so now I'm like, yeah, like, girls, we can do it.
Yeah, and just, like, things are hot, but they don't have to be as explicit
as sexualized
as
for,
like
yeah.
yeah or just like hyper maybe just like a formulaic in their
yeah.
approach like
yeah.
culturally this is hot so let's push it to the extreme
yeah yeah yeah
just like or you can just like subtly be
yeah,
like
this is my version
this is
of
the
what's
sperm
like sexy.
Swimming in the deep of the-
yeah I'll just from now on I'm gonna just draw sperm in the water
okay
yeah gross my abstract
well, you know if that's the direction you feel like you need to go so you started drawing as a child and that continued somehow through like adolescence which is where I think a lot of people stop
yeah I became like really obsessed. I keep using the word obsessed, but like that's kind of how I
that's
track
okay.
like yeah, my my
your obsessions, like
yes,
this was during my this wave,
yeah.
And this was during
post whale period, then like turned into like Andy Warhol.
Ooh.
Like, so, like, just, I, like, graphic, like, symbols and icons and images and...
Just, like, bold kind of simple stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, in high school, I became the yearbook editor. Was really popular, you guys. but so, I, like, so, like, graphic design then became, like, sort of the direction that a lot of my, like, illustration went into. I just started focusing more on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... like after high school, I hadn't actually applied to any art schools because I was like, I need a job, so I'm going to go into English literature, which I don't know
so
what kind of job I was expecting.
Practical,
but,
yeah. And nobody has that degree.
Yeah, but that so I went to University of Ottawa just for a year studying English, and then I realized like, nope, I gotta get to an art school. I gotta like draw because I hated that year and that school and the program, and I would always draw to distract myself from the misery that was like first year university. And so from there, like I went to art school, and even in art school, it was still very like design focused.
Mm-hmm.
And any illustration that I did was kind of like I drew all the like queens and jacks and stuff in a, like a deck of playing cards.
Oh, nice.
So like still like design like projects and not super personal, but still like wasn't a way
but
to
fun.
Draw.
Yeah.
And only a few years ago did I start doing like actively like comics and like drawing, pulling from like my personal day to day life.
And now you're working on a book.
Yeah.
Which is a Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
It's coming out next year. So
yeah, it's coming out in
July. You guys have to
July.
Wait. So we've got multiple Christmas presents for you. We've got an article coming out, who
yes.
knows when, and
yeah,
then a
yeah,
book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spread out among, like, the next 11 months. There's, like, a few things. But, yeah, so I just, like, I'm still working through, like, edits and coloring and stuff, but the book is, like, pretty much done. It's a Choose Your Own Adventure story for grown-ups, all in the span of, like, a single average day. So, like there's some options where, like, you do laundry, you go on a bad date, you are late for work, you, like, get coffee, you meet a friend, you decide to have a nap. Like, but it's funny.
Yeah,
and illustrated. It's completely illustrated.
So that's just thinking about the maps you'd have to create to different plot lines.
It was an elaborate, like I have a page in my sketchbook.
Was that the original idea you conceived of like, I'm going to do a book and it's going to be a choose your own adventure?
Yeah. Like a year ago, because I had been like posting so much like drawings online, and especially on
and
Instagram.
And getting lots of attention.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yay. someone, a literary agent reached out and was like, you should do a book. And I was like, who, me? Okay. And so then I started thinking of things that I could do that would actually be like conceivable and interesting and like something with like a hook. So it's not just like,
here's
a collection.
Some comics.
Yeah. it's an actual like one concept.
So did you have a lot of like, were you obsessed with Choose Your Own Adventures at any point in your time? Or this is just something
never like an obsession, but I was definitely into them. But it always, I don't know, it always frustrated me when, because like some of them the storyline would end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, I want to go back. And then I always got frustrated trying to like then backtrack.
Do different, yeah.
Yeah. So
like, how did I get here?
Yeah. So then I started like a little system where I think I would like post it. Like
but
where like
this is
when,
what I chose.
Yeah, like when the like diverging like paths would like diverge.
So you're really kind of an analytical consumer.
Yes, yeah. But I was way more into like Goosebumps and Babysitter's Club and
the 90s,
the Bailey School Kids. Oh, I just remembered them.
Oh.
Do you guys know that?
I don't know the Bailey School
Kids. I don't
kids.
Know that.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's Canadian. Now I'm like, whenever I reference something
that... You're like, is that?
That I was... don't recognize. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, was that only in my country?
I was wondering that too. I'm like, is that just a Canadian thing?
Yeah. I don't think so. Like, it's the Bailey School Kids.
It sounds
kids.
Familiar. I just
it was about,
didn't do that.
Like, every issue, there was like a new sort of like creature. It was like... the Bailey School, or I think it was the Bailey School kids, but it was like the first one was like, vampires don't wear polka dots. And it's because their new set, like, teacher in school, they all thought was a vampire. And then like the next one would be like, goblins don't ride roller coasters. And it, like, fairies don't babysit. I don't know, like all these different creatures. Oh, and then another one, gremlins don't do something. Anyways.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, I keep going off on these, like, childhood
tangents.
No,
I love it. This is, like, the juice.
Yeah.
Bailey's School Kids is a thing. It's a book series by Marcia Jones and Debbie Dady.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, werewolves don't go to summer camp. Mm-hmm. Vampires don't wear polka dots. Santa Claus doesn't mop the floors.
Yeah, that was the janitor.
Leprechauns don't play basketball.
Santa Claus can mop the floor if Santa Claus needs to mop the floor.
Elves. He has elves.
This
for
looks
that.
Fun.
Oh, come on.
I'm gonna,
Santa.
I might go back and, try and recover some of my childhood.
It's funny because I just remembered, like, my little brother and I really loved those books, to the point where we wrote one and sent it to the authors as a suggestion. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, I think it was like, robots don't, like, do something. I forget what it was. But we, like, wrote. Because I don't know if we, I don't think we understood how writing books worked.
Like, here's a book for you to write.
Yeah, I think.
We wrote it for you.
It was almost like we were, like writing, like, a spec script. Like, here, like, we can provide our services for you, like, Debbie and whatever the other author was. And they even, they replied to us with, like, postcards. And I think what we had proposed was, like, something that they were already working on. Like, the creature that we suggested, they were like, you may be in for a treat next summer when, like, our new book is out. And
they're like, these kids are brilliant. We're already working on this,
they plagiarized
kids. Just kidding. So for new listeners, old listeners, we do a practice called river writing, and I've moved it to doing it before the show so you don't have to listen to music for 5 minutes while we write, and then invite people to read on air. So our prompt this week was a short poem by Emily Dickinson, whom we're talking about. I have kind of like a love-hate reaction to most of her work. It's never neutral. So the poem was, to make a prairie, it takes a clover and one bee, one clover and a bee, and reverie. The reverie alone will do if bees are few. And so I'd like to see if either of you are interested in reading what you wrote.
Yeah. Can I not go first, though?
Yeah.
Oh, or unless I can neither
go.
Of you. Yeah.
No.
Nope, I always read.
You go.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Do you want to? I can go. I'm fine.
I don't think I've gone first very often, so okay. I'll go first this time.
Yeah.
One clover and one bee, bringing things back to one and one, as it is so easy to get lost and unnoticed among the many. Seas of water, beaches of sand, but I can't hold them all, and I can't see them all, and I can't connect with all. I can connect with one clover, spying it among a bunch, moving closer, and introducing myself. I can notice the petals and the colors of this one clover, and perhaps, in time, we will feel safe sharing secrets with one another. One bee, landing upon my one clover, separates it from the hive. I can see the golden hairs and listen to the hum and bumble of this one bee. And we can share a moment, perhaps like infinite others, but this one is mine to revel in. This is my one moment, my own, my clover, my bee. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
That was impressive. All right. Mine.
No.
Mine is like not that long or that good.
Here, I'll go with mine, and this will give kind of an idea of where my mind was as I wrote it. It is titled Ramblings of an Old Man.
Perfect.
So have fun with this. To make a prairie is not so simple, Emily. Have you seen prairies? Have you tried to grow a clover? Do you know what happened to the bees? Maybe in your days, there were still open fields and unexplored territories. Were there unexplored territories in your day? But not now. Bees are getting scarce now. Clovers are still plentiful, but squished between buildings. Reverie we have a lot of. But then we'd be, making prairies out of the new iPhones without ear jacks. This is reverie. What are we going to do with our old headphones? They'll go the way of the bees, I suppose.
Thank you.
Very apropos to this week.
I don't know where my mind was.
I like it.
Okay, can I preface this by saying I am always...
There's no wrong way to do it, by the way.
Okay. So. I mean, I'm not, I'm not going to defend or, be sad about this poem. But I'm constantly thinking about the end of the world. So the mention of bees, like, that's my mind goes off on. Okay. Oh, boy. It's not great. bees are few, hopes are fewer. We will bear witness to humanity's funeral. We had a good run, wouldn't you say? But we can now see the light of doomsday. Or I guess it's the darkness, a reverse end of the tunnel. The signs have begun. They will soon make themselves noticed. We'll have no time for goodbyes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No,
It sounds like a really good prophecy, I just gotta say.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm a new Nostradamus, you guys.
Yeah. Ooh. I have some questions for you.
yeah. Basically, like, we're all gonna die.
really? That's like a spoiler alert. You're like, P.S.
Yeah.
Everyone dies eventually. It's just a matter of when. let's see. My other things to talk about. I was curious about the percentage of how many of your ideas become a image or a comic versus how many ideas are just like an idea.
Oh, and then it's funny that you bring that up because this week I got my first round of edits back from my editor for my book, and so I've been going through like for the past year most of my notes and my phone and my mind has been occupied with like
that project
with the book because it's so. Like, I wanted to collect as many, like, mundane, everyday things that people can relate to. And so I have so many, like, lists still of, like, things that I took notice of but didn't use in the book. And they feel like, what do I do with them now? Like, there's some, like, I don't know. I just tried to keep track of every, like
in a day. What are the, like, what's the potential?
Yeah, like, one was, like you are walking down the street and you look at your reflection in the car and then you realize someone's in the car and it's just that like that
you're
awkward like, moment
oh,
of like
hi. Yeah, like, you're like fixing your hair
yeah
like, oh.
like your face is close up to them and then you kind of like your eyes realize there's someone right there so I don't know just like lots of little things like that but percentage wise I feel like for things that I write and don't end up drawing or turning into something maybe 50-50. Yeah. Yeah. Or like 40% is drawn and 60% is too...
It like just didn't work.
Abstract or like just dumb. Yeah. Like not worth it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Like, so I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm thinking of it in terms of like if all of the stuff that I write is an iceberg, then like, then the peak is still pretty big of what is seen, like what is actually made.
Titanic wouldn't have sunk.
I love that your mind, you're like thinking of percentages, iceberg. Got it. Iceberg is above?
Yeah, like what is seen and what is like hidden in shame in my like old notebooks that
No shame. Yeah. Do you ever go back and like notebooks constant. From your like childhood, like years back?
Yes. I have been keeping, like, I've had a diary since I was 8. So, so whenever I visit home, and which I was doing,
just,
like a few weeks ago.
Things out.
Yeah, just looking back at old diaries is, funny and embarrassing. And luckily, like, there's enough distance between present day Siobhan and childhood Siobhan.
I'm a little disappointed in my childhood journaler self because I was like, oh, let me talk about this boy. Oh, let me
so
talk about this
much
things.
Boy
and then,
talk.
Oh,
my God,
and then I was
but.
Like, oh, and by the way, this crazy thing happened. And I was like, wait, what happened?
I know. Okay, it's it's kind of funny. Today is September 11th, and that's not funny. But what I'm about to get into is just like apropos. I was home a month ago, and I found my diary from. Like September 14th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, it was just so bizarre, like how, I mean, I was like 11. So like, I'm allowed to be dumb about like,
life and the
about
world.
About life,
just like not
world issues.
Aware at all. Exactly. I just was like, so I was walking through the hall while skipping class and saw like something on the news.
Oh, you were skipping class?
Yeah. I did that a lot. I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I would go to the bathroom for 35 minutes.
One of those kids. What, like, you would go to the bathroom, or would you wander the hallway?
No,
would you hang out in the bathroom?
Yeah, no, I'd see if I could sneak outside and, like, hide behind a tree or something, so, like, no one from the school could see me.
Yeah. I was always intimidated by the girls who would hang out in the bathroom.
In, like, hindsight, I was like, oh, I was one of those kids that was too smart to sit in a classroom all day. I went crazy, so I just, like, go outside and watch butterflies and read books. Just, like, have a book shoved down my shirt. I have to go to the bathroom.
Ignore this bulky thing under my tongue.
Oh, I have a tumor.
Read ahead in class. That would be what I would do.
I'd only do that if I liked it. Which
same. And which rarely, I don't know. A lot of the curriculum books were...
The one thing that was, I was surprised I liked, so at such a young age, is in eighth grade, my teacher gave us the abridged version of Les Mis, and I, like, gobbled it up in a night and then started reading the unabridged.
For you. Oh, my God.
Like, how?
God,
it just, like, spoke to something in me. I was like, I'm going to read this giant book.
I was... Anne of Green Gables was the book that...
Did you read the whole series?
No. What, like Anne of Avonlea?
Yeah, because there's like 20 of them. Yeah. I think the first three are the only good
ones. Exactly. Like when... Wait, what happens... Like, what is
so
is
Anne of Green Gables is like she becomes adopted.
She's 12.
And then Anne of Avonlea is like she's the teacher and she's exploring.
And
like,
does she love Gilbert?
So many loves. And then it's the third book, I think, where she's like, at the end of the second book, she's like, oh, Gilbert.
Yes.
I do love you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After all,
that.
Because you almost died. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Realizing.
What, on a roof?
I don't remember. Okay. No. She climbed on a roof, and he almost died of like scarlet fever or something.
Oh, nothing to do with the roof.
But maybe he got scarlet fever from a roof.
No, she climbed on the roof. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, as a child, because she was rebellious. Well, she couldn't resist a dare. I think is what happened, and the kids were like, "I dare you," and she's like, "Oh shit! Well, fine, I'm gonna do it."
Yeah,
so that's fun. Yeah, pretty. I'm sure for me that was a huge influence because the hair. And
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
so
like
you were even
you
closer.
Running off to like hide behind a tree and read sounds like Anne of Green Gables behavior.
Yeah, ish. Well, there you go. So, believe it or not, we are coming to the end of our show. We've had so much fun.
Yay.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I hope I did not go off track.
No.
Too much? Okay.
There's no wrong. No.
Okay.
I'm so happy about everything we talked about.
Yay.
We do end our shows with a series of questions called Rapid Fire. So might be fast answers, might be slow.
Rapid is more of a suggestion.
Okay. Yeah. It's just like a list of questions that we haphazardly grab from. So I am going to start and ask if there's any routines around your, I guess, creative work, your writing or your...
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because like normally it would be like I would get an iced coffee or a coffee and like go to my roof and smoke some cigarettes and like brainstorm. But I just quit. So now I'm kind of like what? Like I got my iced coffee and like I want to draw, but I now don't have that habit. Yeah, so that...
Props for quitting, though. That's
thank
hard.
You. I'm actually, like, pretty, like, pleased with myself.
You're doing okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's only been a week, but that's longer than I thought that I could.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. More compliments, you guys.
You're so great.
Go.
So, on the roof with your coffee
Yeah,
now.
But like, excluding cigarettes, it's always, like, roof, go through my notes, like, think of ideas, and then, yeah. Then go to my room and draw on my bed.
Do you do that even during the winter?
Yes. Yep, yep.
You draw outside in the winter.
Oh, no. Well, I don't draw outside, but I always, like,
go
outside.
Out
yeah.
As, like,
yeah, because I have a really great roof, you guys. Like, it's...
Ooh,
not to brag,
nice.
But, yeah, no, it's just...
No.
It's really nice. I can see, like, the skyline, and I can... Like, it's only two floors up, so I can still kind of, like, spy.
People.
Like, Harriet the Spy. Like, in my mind, that's who I am. Yeah.
Do you find it easier or harder to brainstorm in the winter? Like, are you more motivated to go back inside?
Yes.
Yeah. Nace is like, how? Why? No.
Yeah.
I'm not a winter person.
Well,
Cali
I am.
Girl.
I think that's... Okay, Canadian girl. Like, the cold fuels me.
Well, I think that speaks to something that a lot of creatives connect with, of, like, going outside for a little bit before you start, like, a session.
Yeah, I just need, I don't know, and, like, on my phone.
Just create a buffer between life
exactly.
And then, like, stepping into your world.
Differentiating environments, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, great. It's my turn. Do you have a book that you're like putting off reading, or like you want to read and you keep thinking, I'm going to get to this, and then you don't?
Oh man, yes I do. I mean, luckily the book that has been that case for a while, I just started reading this week. Which is...
Congratulations.
You're just on top of things.
I quit smoking and then I start like checking off all my to-do lists.
You're like doing like a spring life cleaning at this is like the end of summer.
My birthday was last weekend. So, I mean, it's kind of...
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
So, but like that was kind of my like, I wanted to quit by my 27th birthday, quit smoking. And so the book Everything Matters by, Ron. Wait, I have it.
Which you started reading this week?
I started, yeah, and it's about the end of the world. And my boyfriend had recommended it to me. Ron Curry Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because this book, like I'm a like book designer, so this book has been...
Yeah, I like the cover.
Yeah, a reference for so many like projects that I've done in the past. So it's always been like in the back of my mind. But finally, I've started it.
Doing stuff. Wonderful. So... My next question, we talked a little bit about it, but is there a book you remember reading that was, like, really influential in, like, changing, like, I feel like in adolescence, people read a book and they're like, oh, I feel things or I think things and I'm, like, different now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's definitely been a million. And it's funny, I feel bad because I think a bunch of what I've said today I had been like responses to Christian's interview from a few weeks ago, so I'm sorry for like the repeat.
No,
but
he buttered you up for us.
Yeah,
he's like, let's go down these wormholes.
But A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine Long.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
that
was
so crazy.
I know.
Did you read?
I did not know.
Okay. Yeah, that, like yeah, as
so, I mean,
as a young. Like, I don't know, 11 or 12 or whatever. Like, yeah, that as well as Betty Smith's A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. Those are kind of my dual, like...
They're very different.
Yeah, but both, like, female perspective, like, coming of age stories.
Yeah.
One is realistic and one is you travel to another space dimension. Yeah.
I remember, so my story with A Wrinkle in Time is my aunt was giving me a ride, like a 5-minute ride from one place to another, and she happened to have the book on tape playing in her car, and I was like, what is this.
Oh my gosh.
And like gobbled it up and was just like.
How old were you?
Let's see. Probably 15, 14.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
It is.
Do you have a question?
I do. This one's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a like guilty pleasure, like Netflix related or podcast related or just TV show related?
All
we were
of
talking
them?
About it earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to get
we
into
start
this.
The show with, end the show with pop culture.
It's I mean, definitely. But it's less guilty. It's more like guilty
it's
pleasures
like
have kind of turned
process.
Into like proud, like proud pleasures.
Yes. The Office.
But it's, yeah, well, that is not even guilty at all. Like that is just I love it. But it's funny. Like I don't actually watch, just because I don't have, like, a TV or easy access to, like, the Real Housewives shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to a podcast called Bitch Sesh, which is a dissection of the episodes of Real Housewives. And it's by two comedian actresses who are just, like, really funny, and hearing them dissect and like talk about all of the ladies from The Real Housewives.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's that's another like while I'm drawing.
Yeah.
The other thing with that is have you seen The Real Housewives of Orlando? It's like the spoof version of
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think the creators of that show is the podcast.
Oh,
ladies.
Oh my
God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Because I've watched a couple episodes of that, mostly because one of my favorite actresses, I can't think of her name, but she was, I don't know, she's the voice of Louise on Bob's Burgers. You guys know her? And she was in the
Kristen
Schaal. Yeah.
Schaal.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And her in that, I'm just like,
Yeah.
So
yeah. Bitch Sesh is like from the creator of that and one of the people
crazy.
In it. Yeah. That's funny. And I haven't even seen that, but I've listened to their podcast.
I love that actually. Yeah. Like I don't watch this, but I do.
I will appreciate
I do know about
in
it.
Another form. Yeah.
You know what I realized is mine. I finally accepted it. BuzzFeed. I BuzzFeed and I read information about like Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian. I could give two shits about these people.
Yeah.
But I know what's happening.
But I know what's happening with their life. I know that T Swift and Tom Hiddleston just broke up.
Yes. Oh. Hiddle Swift
is over. And I know I call Kimmy K because I know that much about her now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Twitter helps me. Like I don't actively go to BuzzFeed, but like tweets. Tweets that are like, just like,
this is what's happening.
Yeah, like look at this slideshow of Northwest and Kim Kardashian and like the new baby. Mm-hmm. Saint, right?
Yeah. Saint.
Okay. My hesitation. Uh-oh. I don't know.
Do
as
you
much
know
as
what's happening?
It's because of Yizzy, yeah.
It's because of what?
Yizzy, Kanye.
Oh, Yizzy though, is that what you said?
Yeah, yo, I said.
Oh,
Yizzy.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know who Yizzy yo is.
Yizzy, he's the reason I think Yizzy, that the baby is named Saint.
Yes, definitely.
I am just getting more and more lost. My mentor in college would always be like, you know, it's really fascinating that people know more about celebrities than they do about news and what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm like self-admittedly the worst on both counts.
Me too. Yeah.
So my last question for you today, and I'll do a quick plug. You've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Join the community on radiofreebrooklyn.com. You can pledge a couple dollars a month, buy us a drink, help keep this going.
Please.
This is Ink and Worm, and you can catch the podcast on Audio Boom, Stitcher, and iTunes. So my last question is, if I were to walk into your house right now, what books would be out and about that I would encounter?
Okay. Whenever I'm done a book, I like immediately put it in my alphabetized bookshelf. So like everything that I've read is like tucked away. But Leanne Shapton's Was She Pretty is out like on a table because I haven't started that yet. I did just finish Little Labors by Rivka something. It's a really gorgeous book of like collections of like essays about sort of motherhood and having just about babies.
I'm oddly obsessed with like motherhood. I'm not a mother, but I think there's so many beautiful things and moments.
Exactly. And that's what this book is. It's a collection of it's not like. Like, I don't know. It's not like how to raise a good child. It's not like
it's
a
like
how to.
Sometimes the baby is screaming and you haven't washed your hair
just
in
like
a week.
Her perspective of like the concept of motherhood and being a mother. Anyway, so those are two that.
I'll have to check that
out.
Yes. Sounds like I probably would be interested.
It is. Yeah. It's really great. I recommend it.
Well, again, thanks for being here. And I'll leave you with a word, take it or leave it, lacuna.
Yesterday, the solace of a